fourth and final hour. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Rich is off for the day, having a sit and a nog. Steve DiAsi, former Patriots, New York Giants, Dallas Cowboys star, is in the house with us. Normally at this
Thanks
time...
Thanks for leaving the Jets out. Appreciate that.
I didn't think you wanted me to include that one.
Thank you.
No, where was your Jets tattoo, by the way, Steve? Where was yours?
Giant
on my arse.
Jets tattoo. Right there where it belongs.
Almost as big as Ridley's, yeah. So,
Normally at this time on Fridays, we talk to Michael Irvin, but the playmaker's got no voice today. Voice is shot, so he is not going to be able to join us as he normally is. One quick note. During trending now, I mentioned that the Bruins are in Pittsburgh. So, you know, another example of why hockey players are different than you and me. One, you have, you know, David Backes, who takes a skate to the face at the end of the first period the other night.
Right.
And is out taking the opening faceoff of the second period. So today we find out that Sean Corrali, who had a busted nose, had a what was called a minor procedure done yesterday. In his words, they moved some bones around in his nose. He's got a big mask on his cage, on his helmet today, and he'll be playing tonight. He had this done yesterday.
Yeah.
Move some bones around in your nose?
That's not that hard to do. That's not that...
Wait, what do you mean it's not hard to do?
It's not hard to do.
It's hard to have done.
It's not have done. No, it's...
So, Steve, what do you just reach up your nose, move a few things around, take one bone, put it here?
No, I've had sort of sticks put up the nose and then snap it back into place. It makes your eyes water, but it's
a little bit.
It's not gonna stop you from playing. The skate to the face, I'm impressed.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
That's just,
all right. The broken nose, I don't know any.
Look, he continued playing in the game.
Oh, I know.
But they decided, the doctors decided, look, we got to move some things around here. So they did, instead of practicing yesterday.
Yeah.
He went and, in his words, got some bones moved in his nose.
That's what they do.
And he's back playing today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doubting that toughness. It's painful, especially nowadays. It's, back then, they could numb you out, and you wouldn't even think twice about it. Nowadays, they're not as liberal with the numbing stuff, so you got to be a little...
The numbing stuff, is that what we call it now?
Yeah, that's what we used to call it. I don't know.
You do. Doc, I need some more numbing stuff.
Hey, Doc, what do you got? Doc was my roommate's name, but anyway.
There's not enough numbing stuff to make that sticks up the nose and move the bones around thing go well for you.
I did it on the sideline one time. It was really weird. I don't remember how I busted my nose. But it was.
How many times do you think you busted it?
Four.
I can see pretty much three of the four knots in your nose. There's a big move to the left there.
I have a picture from freshman year BC where my nose goes at one angle to my right side, and then my junior year, my nose goes at an angle to my left side, and then my senior year, it's like straight.
Oh, you got it all fixed, huh?
No.
Just had enough. Had it busted enough times.
I think that happened at Mary Ann's. The fixing part happened at Mary Ann's. I'm not sure.
They were able to do that there without benefit of anesthesia, unless you count Budweiser.
I don't remember her name, but I got punched hard in the face. I just remember that much.
Well, I hope she was worth it.
She was.
Okay, good. We were talking about Josh McDaniels and whether or not he'll be employed as a head coach next year. Steve does not think he'll leave the Patriots.
I don't.
I think he will. I think he's going to get an opportunity. Now, to the previous caller, Sean was his name. I got to give Sean credit because during the break, I looked it up, and I'm reading from Wikipedia, so it must be true. But it says here, the application of the Rooney Rule does not apply if an assistant coach has language in his contract guaranteeing him the head coaching job in case of an opening. For instance, they say this was the case when Mike Martz took over as head coach of the Rams before the 2000 season. And also, as they say here, the requirement doesn't apply if the assistant coach taking over the head position is a minority, as was the case with Mike Singletary in the 49ers in 2008. So,
right. According
to this, if Josh has it written into his contract...
That's the only thing we don't know.
We don't know that.
Right.
But if when the Patriots tweaked it last offseason, before he got on the plane and headed for Indy, if they put a clause in there saying... you'll be the next coach of the Patriots, then he's absolutely not leaving here.
Right. I would think that would be part of the incentive to stop him from going to Indy. I think that would have had to been part of the incentive. You know, the fact that you're comfortable here, your family's here, that you don't you can see a future here, and if you think you can replicate 80% of what Bill Belichick has done, then you'll be here for a while. You know, so it's not like, you know, it's one of those scenarios.
See, I think following Belichick is a death march.
I agree, because how are you going to live up to that? You can't. You don't. You just don't live
it's
up to that.
It's never going to happen. And you know, you could even win a Super Bowl. You'll still get criticized.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
First of all, the team's going to stink, because you won't have Brady here. You won't have Belichick here. Yeah. It's not going to be good to begin with. But then following in his footsteps, you were doomed to fail.
Maybe Josh finds himself a young QB and then opens up that offense and they start scoring points better than Kansas City or the Rams. How's that? That work?
Good try, I guess.
I don't know.
What the heck?
I was just throwing it out there, but again, that could be a whole. I hard to imagine coaches. Most coaches I know don't really think like that. But the whole quality of life thing.
He talked about that when he stayed here last year. His family liked it here. You know, his kids liked it here. Now, I think a lot of people thought that was crap.
I'm telling you.
Because then the question was, well, then why'd you tell the Colts you'll come if your family didn't want to go and your kids wanted to stay?
Because it took accepting the job to realize the mistake that I made, honey.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. See?
You've had some practice at this, haven't you?
Two ex-wives and a girlfriend that's finally kept me in line.
Well, whatever it takes. Look, I do think that the family was part of it. I'm not saying it was the deciding factor. I think the contract was the deciding factor. We think they made him the highest paid coordinator in the game.
Yep.
We think. We don't know that. And we think that he was told, you're the next head coach here. But we don't even know that.
We don't. And even those...
In fact, didn't Josh say that was not promised to him?
He did, but...
He might not be telling me the truth.
Yeah, or he could have just phrased it in a way that... You know, there's different ways to phrase things, especially in legalese. Maybe there was, maybe it's something that there was, you know, sort of put in there, but not 100%. I don't know. I just look at it and think that there's, you know, he's what 42 now? Is that right? 42 years old, something like that. He's like 42. So, is he one of those young guys? Is all of a sudden is he how old is Nagy and how old is
you're right, Josh is 42, turns 43 in April.
Okay. So is he part of that new young breed of coaches, or is he actually a little too old for that? What's McVay, 34, 35, something like that? And Nagy is not much older than that. So, you know, these guys think differently. There's certain things that they look at in a different way. Coaches, the old school coaches, it was all about that next job, and it didn't matter. That was I'm trying to move up the ladder, and my family's coming with me, and that's the way it's going to be. I'm not sure.
Don't you sort of resign yourself that's the life you're going to lead? If you're the wife of a coach,
right?
You kind of know, you know. In a best case scenario, I'll be here for a few years, and then we're going to move somewhere else.
Right.
And the stability that you've had here,
right?
For guys like Dante Scarnecchia and Ivan Fears, and you know. Some of the guys who've been here for a while, that's pretty unusual in the NFL.
Very unusual, but now you come along in an even more unusual scenario. You got a young coach who can maybe, for lack of a better phrase, dictate terms a little bit. Now all of a sudden, it's not a young coach saying, I'm moving up the line to the next job available, and I'm I'll take this job, the Colts, whatever. It's a guy saying, well, you know, maybe I can have a lot of what I want and still have the other things that I want, the life in New England, the family here, the love for the Patriots organization. All of a sudden, some of these younger, newer coaches might have a different mentality in terms of what's important to them. And there's no doubt that if you look at the generation from, I don't know, 30 to 40 years old, whatever, they have a different mentality than people 20 years older than them, and maybe this is a new type of NFL coach, a guy that's thinking bigger picture, not just that next great job, that next increase, that next move to get me towards the top. Maybe a guy like that young, who's been so successful, that young can say, you know what, I'm going to just chill and ride this out and see where it takes me. I'm in no real hurry. knowing full well what I knew and what Schefter talked about last year, that, yes, he was going to get more chances. He was getting another chance at a job. No two ways about it. Now, all of a sudden, you don't have to be in that hurry. You're 42 years old. You don't have to be in the hurry to get to that next great job. You might sit it out a year or two. You're in a good position here. Sit it out.
We're back on a Patriots Friday with Dale and Keith on WEEI.
McDaniels is not going to fail for the second time as head coach. He's going to make sure, unlike Denver, wherever he goes, they've got the quarterback set. McDaniels went to Denver, and Denver didn't have the quarterback situation settled. He's not doing that again. He's going to a place where he's got a four-year contract for a star quarterback. That's where he's going. Sounds like Green Bay to me.
Sounds like Cleveland to
what?
Me. Sounds like Cleveland to me.
Green Bay? Why would... What? I don't see that. I don't see that at all. I don't see it.
I'm not
ruling it out.
You may be right, by the way. He doesn't go anywhere. And if he's got an agreement here with the Patriots, if they, in fact, wrote it into his contract that he's the next head coach of the Patriots, he's probably not going anywhere.
Right.
Unless he changes his mind again.
I don't see Green Bay as being that attractive a scenario, to be honest with you. You've got a quarterback who's still very good, but he's on the tail end of his career, and we've seen that the GM came out, not the GM, the... Yeah, the GM, no, not the GM, the CEO,
right?
Mark Murphy came out and basically superseded the general manager. The general manager is a puppet now. I mean, just there's a lot going on there that's not good.
By the way, just a quick update. You'll remember a couple of weeks ago, there was the verbal confrontation post game between NFL umpire Roy Ellison and Bills defensive end Jerry Hughes. And Ellison was placed on administrative leave. Now, Ellison was fined $53,482 because it was his second offense of verbal or other non-physical offense against an official. The first offense would have been $26,739.
Jerry Hughes, you mean?
Jerry Hughes.
Yeah, okay.
Jerry Hughes, I'm sorry. Okay. Yep. Jerry Hughes's fine was $53,482.
Right.
Roy Ellison has been fined one game check by the NFL, which is $9,300, and they have reinstated him from administrative leave after the confrontation. Hmm. Now, obviously, there's a huge difference in pay between these two guys.
Sure.
And the CBA that the Players Association has with the NFL mandates second offense fine for verbal or other non-physical offense against an official, $53,482. That's what his fine was for Hughes. Ellison was fined a game check, which is $9,300.
Okay, so 1/16th year's salary from the NFL, as opposed to, I think Jerry Hughes is making more than $800,000 or $850,000.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not 1/16th of his salary. Now, Ellison, am I wrong to think that he had some incidents before?
Yeah, that's supposedly this was not his first offense.
Right.
But they don't have, you know, a CBA that allows...
Yes.
So they find him a game check. Tom Brady, by the way, is stepping to the podium. Let's go down to Gillette Stadium for a moment.
So hopefully we're ready to go. Should be a great game.
You're a heavy Blitz team, at least this year, percentage-wise. But I think if you went back to some past games, there's probably been some where they were pretty aggressive and others maybe more recently where they didn't. How are you sort of navigating that as you prepare?
Yeah, it's definitely, over the years, you know, we played them so many times in a lot of meaningful games. I think it's, you know, they've seen a lot of different things, a lot of different defenses, and it's kind of like every team we played. I mean, when you think about the Bills, Jets, or they've just changed coaches. You know, these guys, you know, have rarely changed coaches, but their defense has still evolved a little bit. And, you know, we're pretty much prepared for everything. You know, they could do whatever they want to do. You know, they have a chance to put in a game plan. They're going to do whatever they think's best to stop us and vice versa. So, you know, we know their players pretty well. I mean, they got some new guys, but we know the scheme and very talented up front. Some good linebackers. Obviously, they draft a lot of guys in the secondary that are talented. So it's a very good defense.
Tom, when you hear that Ben went down with an injury last week, came back, is it knowing him? Is it just like that you'll know he'll be here this week?
Yeah, he's as tough as they come. I think that's a, you know, he's always been available to that team. I remember there's one game he didn't start because of his foot, and then the guy got hurt. Ben came in, as a backup and threw for like 300 or something like that, some ridiculous stat. And he's just tough, been a great quarterback in the league for a long time, knows the game. He's just a great competitor, and he's always got those guys going.
Tom, how important is it to close out the road schedule with a victory and to kind of clear things up after a shaky start in the road this year?
Well, it's, you know, going on the road is always challenging in the NFL. I think it's, you know, you're playing good teams, and they got, you know, there's a lot of tough road environments. I mean, it's always sellouts, and if we don't play well, it really gets the crowd into it. But, you know, it's a great environment, too, when you can go to a stadium and then play well and kind of keep the crowd quiet. I mean, it's a great feeling. So it's a hard thing to do there. You know, a lot of these games will come down to the wire. And, you know, we're expecting a 60-minute game.
Is that an indication to you, team success on the road? Is that sort of an indication to you about what kind of team you have? I look back at, obviously, you guys are in the mix every single year. Yeah. But you don't often have losing records on the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a different team this year. And you know, we've tried, put a lot into it, and we're trying to obviously do great in both. And just hasn't turned out that way, but we're hanging in there. I mean, we're hanging in there.
What makes a good road team? And you've been on a lot of teams, some good on the road, some good at home. What makes a good road team,
You know, it's just making critical plays, and it's a great complementary football. I mean, I think being on the road, the momentum can change very quickly. You know, one play changes the whole game. And we've seen that a lot playing at home, and you use the crowd to your advantage, and everyone's kind of into it, and you know, waiting for something to happen. As soon as something good happens for us, you know, it just snowballs quickly. And, you know, you got to keep that from happening on the road. And you got to play well, you know, offensively. You got to do a good job possessing the ball, third down and so forth. Defensively, you know, big plays, and those really get the crowd into it. And the kicking game, you know, just playing solid. So there's no secret. It's just, you know, playing a great complementary game. And we're certainly capable of it, and, you know, it'd be great if this is the moment that we really do it.
Well, how many years you really seem to hit your stride in December, Tom. How do you feel this year? Do you feel this team's in a good place as we head toward Christmas?
I always think you got to go do it, you know, to think that you're at a certain place. You know, that's one thing. I think we always have confidence going into games. We just got to go, you know, figure out how to win them, play to the end, and just go out there and get the job done. So, you know, we got a lot of football ahead of us, and, you know, December's when it matters. I mean, it matters year-round, but there's so few games left. I mean, everyone's fighting for, you know, these spots that are very valuable, and we put ourselves in a decent position. Hasn't been perfect, but, you know, everything's ahead of us.
Tom, did you watch football last night?
I didn't. I was asleep before kickoff.
You know what happened now, right?
Yep.
Does that give you guys a little extra push heading into the final three games of the season, knowing that you went out and get some help and maybe get the number one seed back?
I think we just worry about, honestly, what we can control, and that's it. You know, it's just us playing, and whatever happens, happens. I mean, I know where it's – Coach has always said, you know, it's not where we play, it's how we play. And, you know, we've got to just take care of business on our end. So this is a big one. This is a tough one. And, you know, we're going to have to play really well.
Tom, obviously not when he's playing against your team, but do you enjoy watching Ben play and try to take things from his game to kind of incorporate into your game?
Yeah, he's got such a unique style, and he's just an incredible player, prolific passer, great accurate passer. They've just had incredible passing offenses. I mean, he's just – his style is very different, and he's just big, stands in the pocket, has great presence. He's not really a runner, but – he extends a lot of plays and makes huge plays for their team. And it's hard to stop. So anytime you play a guy like that, I mean, we got to be ready to execute really well on offense and score as many points as we can.
Tom, it seems like sometimes when you're throwing to receivers, you're protecting them a little bit. But maybe in Josh's case, it almost is like you're not afraid to throw him into contact because he can shed tacklers so easily. Is that anything that goes through your mind, you know, when you're throwing to him?
Yeah, he's very strong at the catch point. He's got a big body. It's hard to go through him. He's got great catch radius. So when the ball's in the air, I mean, he just attacks it. And I think most of the time they're not really going for the ball. They're just trying to get him on the ground. And he's just You know, his catch and run is dynamic, and he's made a lot of great plays for us this year.
Your work with him, has anything special stood out? And we all know he's a tremendous athlete, but maybe as a student of the game or as, on the practice field?
Yeah, no, I just really enjoyed our time together. And, you know, we spend so much time here. I mean, we're here till late at night, early in the morning, and on the field watching film and so forth. And it's just been great. I can't say enough good things.
Tom asked Coach Belichick about Rex Burkhead this morning, and he said one thing that sticks out to Rex, to him about Rex and his return is his confidence. What have you noticed of Rex's confidence from practice and games that he's been back?
Yeah, certainly Rex is a big addition when he's out there, and he's, you know, a very explosive player. He's makes a lot of great plays for us, running the ball, catching the ball in the backfield. Everyone has a lot of confidence in him, so it's helped a lot, you know, between him and Sony and, you know, help James White. James has been so productive for us this year. But having everyone available has been, you know, a big boost for our team.
Tom, what is it about Pittsburgh that seems to bring out the best in you more often than not when you go up against them? You've had some of your best career games, best numbers.
I'm not sure. You know, I think it's really a team effort. You know, we just played well at the right time. You know, I think that's what you got to do. I don't think there's anything particular.
Josh, he said, I think it was last week, that it's like he looks up to you. He's learning from you. How do you feel when a teammate views you in that manner?
Well, you know, I think obviously I'm older than everyone else, so I have been around for a while, and a lot of the guys, you know, were young when they watched me play. But, you know, I feel the same way about, you know, those guys. I mean, they keep me going, and you know, I learn from them, and they're, you know, I'd say more youthful energy at times when I need it. But, you know, I feel the same. You know, everyone contributes different things. And, you know, when I was young, I looked up to the older guys too. And, you know, hopefully they gained a lot from me. And it just always goes both ways. So, thank you guys.
Tom Brady, his regular. Now, he started this last year, pushing it back from Wednesday to Friday. And evidently, he's just decided to keep with it this year. So, nothing earth-shattering there. Likes throwing to Josh Gordon. Why wouldn't you?
Heaps of praise on the opponents.
All the time.
Yep.
They're always. I mean, he's learned at the knee of Bill Belichick in that regard.
Working hard. Got a lot of things to do. I was in bed before that game kicked off.
Before kickoff last night.
Yeah. You believe it?
Yeah. I do too. Yeah.
It wasn't like he was hemming or hawing or boasting or whatever. He's like, yeah.
I mean, he knows what happens. That happened, obviously. But as he said, it doesn't matter if they don't take care of their job.
Yeah, absolutely right. But even though you know what's coming, still kind of cool to listen and hear what he's thinking. So every once in a while, he throws something in there that you're like, oh, okay, that'll work. I mean, obviously, and I don't think his admiration of a guy like Ben Roethlisberger is faked.
I agree.
I think he's totally sincere about that.
So that's the Brady thing. Let's go to Cam on the cell phone. Hey, Cam.
Hey, fellas. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I just have a quick question about Josh Gordon, then I'll hang up and listen. So I'm just wondering what your assessment is of him this year so far. And do you think that he would be someone that the Pats would bring back next year? And if so, what would that contract look like? Thanks, guys. Happy holidays.
I think they're thrilled with how it's gone so far this year. I think that Belichick has gone out of his way to talk about it. In fact, Belichick today said Josh has played for so many different coaches in Cleveland that he's had to learn so many different things.
Yeah.
And he said there's really nothing we've thrown at him that he hasn't seen from some coach somewhere.
Right.
But Brady talked about, you know, how dedicated he's been. Look, from a talent perspective, I never had a question about whether this guy was a good signing or not. My only question here was whether or not he'd be available. And he has been.
Yeah. And he's said all the right things, done all the right things. Has gone over the middle for the football, gone deep for the football, doesn't hesitate to go anywhere to get to make the catch. So would I think he's back next year? I think there's certain situations that guys are in where they like what's going on, and even more so considering the craziness that was his time in Cleveland and obviously the sobriety issues and the compounded with the team issues and all that. You know, I think it's for him. It's probably nice to have
some normalcy.
The solidity of. I mean, this is a solid team, a solid organization. You know who's in charge. You know what's going on here. You know where you stand. You're not sitting there with a coach who might tell you to go talk to your offensive coordinator about your scenario. You're dealing with the best coach ever and the best quarterback ever, and a bunch of guys who work towards winning a championship, and that's all that matters. And having been in a position where I played for a team that it didn't matter as much or it didn't seem to matter as much, and going to a team where that's all that mattered, that was so much easier to play football, so much more fun to play football.
All right, real quickly, we're a little late with this. We should have done this earlier. Mike Reese checking in from practice a couple of hours
ago. Talking about Diossi's deets?
No, we're not doing that. Energy level seems to be up, says Mike Reese at practice. Every player accounted for. We told you that earlier. Sunny, 43 degrees, mild compared to past weeks. But the part that we're most concerned about, what's the set list today?
Oh.
Old school.
Old school. All right.
We still don't know who gets to pick this stuff. But whoever did pick Sugar Hill Gang and Rapper's Delight, we applaud you, sir.
Yep.
Steve, when you were practicing, did people pick, like, the music players?
What are you talking about music?
Music playing?
Are you kidding me?
Were there no speakers back then or something?
What? No, we just had live orchestras playing.
Oh, the Pops, guys.
No, there's no speakers. The only time there were speakers once we were trying to simulate some crowd noise. I don't even remember which team it was, but that was it. I mean, there was no playlist.
No.
There was no music, nothing?
No, are you kidding me?
I am not kidding. This is actually disturbing. How did you make it?
How did you?
I just had to slog 10 miles each way through the snow uphill.
I had music in my head. That's what got me through. How's that? All right. No, this was. Listen, we're lucky to get water and salt tablets. All right, I'm going back.
All right, that's too far.
I'm going a little far. All right, but no, there was no music selection. Nobody in the locker room. Yeah, there was music, but not a lot. Nothing crazy.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Nice. From West Newbury. John Cena's theme. So, a couple of things we didn't get to throughout the course of the program.
What else you got?
You're up first, pal.
Well, I got a couple of the deets. Did I say that correctly?
Oh, nice.
Did I say that correctly? The deets about this game? Since 2007, Brady has averaged over 300 passing yards per game and thrown 23 touchdowns with only one interception. That sounds absurd. Is that correct?
Diossi's deets.
Wow. Did I just make that up, or is that correct? That's right.
If you did, you sold it.
All right, good.
The crack research team has looked into this thoroughly.
All right. New England leads the all-time series. This is surprising. New England leads the all-time series with Pittsburgh with a 16-15 record. I would have thought with all those bad Patriots teams
and those really good Pittsburgh teams.
Right, I would have thought they probably didn't play that much. The Patriots have won the last five meetings with the Steelers, and Mike Tomlin is only 2-7 in his coaching career versus the Patriots. That's like Miami to Belichick is New England to Tomlin. The last time the Steelers beat the Patriots was in 2011, which happens to be the year of one of the biggest one-hit wonders ever, whose title is apropos to the day as it is simply called Friday by Rebecca Black. Work it.
I got it.
What? I thought you were going to play it.
You didn't have it.
What's wrong with you?
He wasn't ready.
What? That's.
It went so much better in rehearsal.
One of my favorite songs.
That great big pink head bobbing back and forth.
That song stinks. It was a terrible song.
Well, you asked for it.
How is that even one? I know.
Yeah, it is bad.
Sounds like something out of like the Mean Girls movie or something.
All right, real quickly here.
I ever saw that. I'm just saying.
No, I understand.
What else you got?
Allow me a cheap plug, if I may. I've had several book signings for my new book. But tomorrow is something that is a little different for me, and I'm a little nervous about it. I'm going home tomorrow. I'm doing a book signing in my hometown tomorrow of Brunswick, Maine. I will be at the Brunswick Hotel and Tavern from 4 to 6 tomorrow. If you have a book and want to bring it by, I'm happy to sign it. We've got a few that we can offer for sale there, but This is a little nerve-wracking to do this back home. And I'm looking forward to it tomorrow night.
I could imagine. But
no, what's nerve-wracking is I picture sitting at the Brunswick Hotel and Tavern and no one being there.
Not a chance of that.
No, Dale, some of the pictures you've shown us, these things are hot-button items here.
Well,
not a chance.
We'll see. Tomorrow night,
well-deserved, and you're going to enjoy going home.
I can't wait to do it, but I'll report back on Monday about how things went.
Oh, we got a mole there. We're going to report back.
Oh, good. There you go. I got to get out of here.
But before you go, though, Patriots-Steelers, who are you picking?
Patriots.
Steve?
I got the Patriots. I think it's going to be the Patriots rebound well from a loss. Steelers don't rebound as well.
And they own Pittsburgh.
That's true.
We got to get out of here. OMF's coming up next. Monday we'll be at Gillette Stadium, we think, for Patriots Monday. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.
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 Goodbye.